coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who stumbles over each and every one of life's hurdles. I am Rob Cesternino, and here we are tonight on with our esteemed panel for our recap of the Celebrity Big Brother 2019 finale. And congratulations to Tamar Braxton, the unanimous winner of Celebrity Big Brother, sweeping every one of the jury votes. Our entire LFC, all hands on deck here tonight to talk about this. First, let me say hello. Melissa Denny, how are you?
I'm doing great. I felt like we were leading towards a Ricky win, following past season's precedent. I made a joke that landed like a lead balloon on Twitter.
Because usually the jury gets it wrong. See?
I've been careful now. I labeled a sarcasm joke.
Hashtag sarcasm, hashtag joke.
Well, Lynn, are we watching the same show? You think Ricky's going to win? I was like, okay. All right, everyone.
Okay. All right. Let's get the reaction at the sour. Taryn Armstrong is here.
Yes, Tamar Geisling. I got to say, I was very sad when Candy left. And from that point forward, I was just like, I need Candy to have something. I was hoping for the Tamar win. I was thinking prior to this that Ricky might have it. But leading up to the episode, there was some social media liking that was going on that made me think Tamar was going to be the favorite. And she just blew through that. She crushed those jury questions like nobody's business. I still think that we should have gotten more than like three questions because that would have been fun. But overall,
it was a slaughter. Talk about slaughterhouse.
But it would have been fun to continue the slaughter.
The people in the corner were like, cut him. It's over.
Julie over. Literally is just like, okay, so
bring him a body bag.
It's like, whoa, there's nine jurors. We got three questions.
You didn't need them. It was an open and shut case tonight. Brent Wolgamott.
How you doing, Rob? How you doing?
I'm good.
I am so happy right now, just like I called it from the very beginning. I'm just saying, like, there were in all seriousness, there were times where I started to doubt maybe she had made some mistakes along the way, but I always contended, and I even wrote this like 4 or 5 days ago, that I disagreed with Taryn and Liana on their Saturday morning podcast when they both said that they didn't know what the hell Tamar was doing, that she needs a miracle, that she's worse than Lolo at this point, that it's terrible. And I said, no, they're going to reward her if she gets to the end for being authentic. Mm-hmm. And I really do feel like that's what happened.
Well, Brent, you did say one thing all along, and stop me if it wasn't Brent, if I'm attributing this to the wrong person, but that you compared her to Big Brother 19 Josh during the season, and I think that's really appropriate in terms of that they played emotional, there were highs and lows, but then at the end, just that emotion can carry you across the finish line with a jury.
I feel like that's definitely part of the case. I also compared her to Sandra Diaz-Twine, and by that I mean from her first season of Survivor, not her later seasons that some of you all have only watched. I feel like it's definitely both of those two combined. Because
who are you
shading
right now with that?
Well, no, because I feel like she has more agency in the game than Josh ever did, and she had, she had a sense of where she wanted the game to go, what direction she wanted it to go. Having said that, she wanted to take Candy to the final two, and she probably would have lost Candy in the final two, but she still made it to the end. And I feel like there is an element in reality TV where people who are really extra and really big personalities can get them away with more in the end, because it's like, well, we know you're an ass, but you're ours and we get you, and you're authentic at least. Whereas I don't really trust this guy over here. And I do feel like in the final two questions, she came up as totally authentic. And Ricky seemed a little stiff. And I do, I do feel like that they were going to vote for Tamar no matter what. We need to talk about the way fans and social media influenced the jurors. Because I saw the audience talking to Jonathan Bennett as he was looking at the final two, trying to tell him which one to vote for. And I saw him nodding to the audience. So I definitely think all of this plays a part. But let's be real. Tamar Braxton played a great game of Big Brother. Now, for Celebrity Big Brother, I think she made a few mistakes. She shouldn't have popped up like she did because it was an unsequestered jury. But that aside, I think her positioning was fantastic. And overall, I think she really, really did a great job. And I am so, so happy with her. And I didn't think she was capable of giving me answers in the final two that she gave.
It was an all-time jury performance. Forget celebrity. It was an all-time jury performance.
Everything I wanted her to say, except for give me the damn money, she said. She was repentive.
Yeah.
She brought up the fact that she was a fan. She had authenticity to her voice. And I just don't think you cannot. You either got it or you don't. If you don't have that, then juries will not buy what you're selling.
Okay. So
she did such a great job on the jury questioning. I was so impressed. I mean, like, I thought they were both going to do a decent job, but like, Ricky was doing terribly and Tamar was doing amazing. If my only critique at this point for the jury questioning and everything was her final speech, I felt like she should have talked more about herself in the game. I mean, I totally get, you know, the outside plea, like, hey, this is me, like, this is what I've been doing, blah, blah, blah. And like the plea to emotions. But then you got to get into the game stuff. And I feel like
she got every vote.
Well, yeah, she did. I thought she did a great job. I mean, in comparison to Ricky, like,
so bad.
He barely answered the questions and it took him like 5 minutes to even start talking. So yeah, she did really great.
Yes. All right. Let's rattle off all of the firsts tonight.
Oh, well, my three-peat. I have my first three-peat.
I wasn't talking about you.
Kidding. I'm kidding. I'm like Jonathan Bennett. I'm making it all about me. No, I won't do that. I won't do that. I'm going to talk about Tamar Braxton. First African-American winner of Big Brother. First African-American final two in Big Brother history. Our second jury sweep at the end, 9-0. And I was living for the fact that Julie Chen brought up Dan Gieslein and made Tamar realize that she was in his company. Yes. I thought that was really great.
Is Tamar better than Dan, Taryn, no, considering that Tamar has never lost Big Brother?
Oh, that's a good point.
She's 9-0 and then a perfect record.
And more jurors, 9-7.
Yeah, that's something. She never had to use her power.
Yeah, there's that, yeah.
Probably have the top Big Brother winner of all time, I think, at this point.
Yes, and the status is yelling at me.
I'm sorry, but she has overtaken Shannon Elizabeth.
Yes. Elizabeth. The chat is yelling at me to make sure that we acknowledge the fact that she broke the first in curse. She was, as I said on the show a couple days ago,
she broke the mold.
You guys are so, I love you guys, but sometimes can be dumb. Like the just to clear it up for people who don't know what we're talking about. I'm talking to the chat room because they're yelling at me right now. There has never been a person who has won Big Brother that has entered the house first. And Tamar Braxton did enter the house first. And so everybody was like, oh my God, how could she have done that as a fan of Big Brother? And she just proved that there's nothing to these things. A curse is a curse until it's broken. And, I learned that on Once Upon a Time. Come on.
See, I have an alternative take on this one because I liked the first in curse because it showed us who like the true super fans were. Yeah. Because people like Tyler would be like, I'm not going in first.
Who? And then
you'd see like who actually knows the show really well.
So I think we'll still get that. I don't think people will be like, well, Tamar Braxton broke the curse, so let me run in the house. Yeah, I think people will still be like, it's bad luck.
Yeah,
I guess it's celebrity, so it doesn't count, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's always something to
it. I don't know. I feel like the first in curse is no longer a thing anymore. I mean, honestly, like if I was going into the house, I probably still wouldn't go in first because
you know about it.
It's a thing then.
But I'm just saying.
If you would still do it, it's a thing.
I would still do it, but only because I'm very superstitious. So I'd be like, I'm not going to risk my entire game just so I can prove to everyone that it's not a curse. Like, and if by everyone, I mean Taryn. Like, Taryn, you watch me. I'm going to go in first. No way. I'm not doing that.
Yes. Okay. So congratulations to Tamar. Very exciting to see that, because it was a big deal to her. Melissa, a life-changing amount of money is going to be changing hands tonight. And by that, I'm talking about Ricky Williams' dealer, I think, is about to inherit a windfall.
Hold on, Rob. That's not a lot of money.
Taxes and, you know, with the agencies, I mean,
fine. Between a 9-0 sweep in the finals, Melissa, Tom Green being America's favorite player, this was a bitter pill to swallow here for Ricky at the end.
Yeah, probably. And also, it was all his own doing, too, it seems.
Yeah. Because,
you know, he had two opportunities to get the right people out. In order to put him in the best position to win, and he didn't do it. So, I mean, he only has to blame himself. It's not like someone else took him to the final and then, oh, this is where the votes all fell. It was all on him. He won both HOHs.
So. Yeah, hey, Melissa, I'm not about counting votes. I'm about rewarding who's loyal to me. So, you know, Lolo did not promise me that she would take me to the final too, and that's really all it comes down to.
Make no mistake, Taryn, you called it on Twitter. That was a big deal to Ricky. Yeah. I mean, Lolo's, like, the reason Ricky Williams doesn't win Big Brother, I feel like, is because Lolo Jones decides not to agree to Ricky to take him to the final two. Like, yeah. if she does that, then I think there's a chance in hell that he actually takes Lolo to the final two and wins.
Okay, well, let's talk through Ricky's night here. As it's clearly it's Tamar's night, but I think that Ricky is a big part of this story because he's the person who's deciding who goes home. There's five people in the house. He's ultimately of that five picking who he wants there with him at the end, is completely the architect of this finale night where he has the decision in the tie break to either send Dina or Candy out of the house. Melissa, do we have anything to even discuss here with his decision here to take Candy out instead of Dina?
I think he would have won against Dina more than he would have won against Candy. So I think overall that was a better choice for him.
I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. He makes the right call here at five.
Yeah, he made the right call by far. I mean, like, Rob, seriously, Dina in the final four HOH competition, it was like one of those, it was like a Rise of the Planet of the Apes where, like, the monkeys are before the serum and they're picking up the paddles randomly. Like, guys, eight, I don't know.
Poor Dina in all these competitions. Like, when she gets... She's like trying to put the puzzle up and she's like, they're not sticking. What's going on here? And then they're like, you've been eliminated.
So clearly he made the right call with his first decision of the night.
Okay.
Take out
and then
Katie
Dina walking on stage to join the jury. And she's like, do I stay?
Yeah.
I said last night, like in order to get to the tiebreaker for this final HOH, you just need to have a base level of, like, understanding. You knew how to do basic math, essentially. These questions were super easy. And Dina managed to get more of them wrong than right.
Improbable, but she did it. Okay, so now we get to the tiebreak question, and it's between Ricky and Tamar. And the question is, it's a kind of a confusing question. How many minutes? Again, we love to come down to, like, how many hours was it in between the first celebrity Big Brother announcement about the mooch to the one that nobody heard during the double eviction? And the answer was like 400 something. Ricky says 150. Tamar, Brent, on a great night for Tamar, has 15. It was 15 hours in between when Mooch left and the double eviction.
Wow, time just goes. You lose all sense of time in the Big Brother house.
Look, the question
it's been a long day.
The question was wonky. Even I didn't understand it totally at home. I was like, what did
maybe
she
how
say?
Many days she thought?
Yeah, I think she wrote down the days and forgot to multiply it by 24. I knew offhand that the season was like, you know, what, 21, 22 days long. And that was about the 2/3 point. So you knew it was about 14, 15 days. And she's a smart girl. She knew all the other questions. She knows what's going on in the house. She's been keeping track. I think she just made a little boo-boo there and forgot to multiply. And luckily –
Maybe she was throwing it and just trying not to go over.
Yeah, that's yeah, right. Like, I don't think she did that, though. I think she wanted the power in her hands.
The season was 28 days. He left day six, so it wasn't that close to days either. So maybe it wasn't that. I'm not sure.
No. Well, like Taryn, it was like when the first entertainment.
Yeah, I think 15 is a pretty good answer between Mooch is on day six, and then 15 days later is day 21.
You didn't even understand the question. Oh my God.
Look, I know is that once again, this proves that the stupid math tiebreakers are stupid.
Not great. That's not great.
The first one was day six. The second one was like day 25.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, 15 is not a terrible answer for how many days later.
I don't think she was thinking days because it would have been a lot more than 15. And I think she knew that.
Let's not get hung up on this. Okay. So Ricky now has the chance of that. What two people do I want to knock out of the game? And the way that they do this, I go back to Mark McGrath the other night who came in and was like, came in third on what did he say? He came in third because he was the second person to get knocked out by the HOH.
I think they do it that way too. I think,
or maybe they call it's a tie for third place.
Switch the seats every day.
That was so bizarre.
It's very ticky tack. Okay.
Yeah.
That being said, so all right. So easy one. Okay, knocks out Dina. Okay. She's out, and so I think. Most people, based on the reaction from the audience, are thinking, okay, Ricky has the layup here to take Lolo. He's been with Lolo the whole way. He ends up taking Tamar. Okay, Taryn, could we talk through the thinking here on Ricky Williams?
Like I said, so basically Ricky went to Lolo and he was like, hey, you know, like, what are you thinking with the final two? He wanted to make a deal with her to make sure that they would take each other to the final two. They'd been working together for a long time. And so he felt like this, you know, obviously we're going to be taking each other to the final two. And Lolo was like, yeah, I'm just not sure. I'm not sure about it. I don't really know what I'm going to choose. And so he was like, okay. So I'm going to go to Tamar then. And he went to Tamar and he was like, so Tamar, how do you feel about a final two? And she was like,
1,000,000,000%.
I'm down.
Right. The right answer.
Right. And so that was it. That was all it. And he talked about, he wanted to reward the loyalty and the reciprocity. So, which is even funnier when Lolo ends up being like, I was trying to be fair to Tamar by saying, no, I didn't think it was fair to make a deal with Ricky to take each other to the end. I wanted to be able to not take Ricky, but how dare he not take me?
Right? Oh my God, Taryn, the hypocrisy from her. I mean, like, I was trying to cut her a break because I'm sure all humans, they're the hero of their own narrative. I'm sure she thinks she's trying to do the best she can, but my God, she cannot like step outside of herself for 1 minute and listen to what you're saying. I mean, it's just so hypocritical to say what you said on the stage to Julie Chen to the point where you totally lost the audience. Lolo, I'm talking about. And I really think that Dina, by comparison, made you look so bitter because, like, Lolo was like, he shouldn't have done that. And even though she admitted that he made a good move, even though it really wasn't a good move, but she thought,
she had the votes.
I was totally going to win.
She thought she was going to win 9-0, Taryn.
She had it. She had it.
Yeah. Close.
In fairness to Lolo, this is, I believe, a career best third place finish. So congratulations to Lolo for a bronze medal finish in Celebrity Big Brother. Good work by Lolo.
I actually looked it up because, like, I didn't even trust her when I was listening to the podcast tonight. I'm like, was she really that close to a medal at the Olympics? And actually, she kind of was. She actually clipped the hurdle at the very end.
Yes, that's why she said we stumble over the hurdles.
Oh my God, I actually replayed it because I wanted to watch it.
Also, like, that was not a hurdle competition. Like, the whole time it was like, of course you're gonna give Lolo the hurdles.
I told you Taryn, like, Taryn,
I agree with you.
I know you agree with me.
I was like, okay, what are these hurdles? And it was literally like the farthest thing from hurdles. Like, you can't run over those. Well, and
in Tamar's mind, maybe she thought that Lolo was like skipping across the laser beams.
In fairness to Tamar, I do think that being a hurdler like helps you be able to like have body awareness.
Yeah, she's tall. Well, she has long legs. Yeah, so she could probably step over a lot of them. So look, she did win. She did win her fair share of the veto competitions, Lolo. So there's that. So the Ricky then takes Tamar to the end. Was he thinking that Tamar had lost the jury?
I think that he was thinking that Lolo might have won the jury. I think, you know, Lolo made it clear that she needed the money. He was always working with Lolo, so I don't think he ever saw her nasty side and didn't really view her the way the audience view her and maybe some of the jurors viewed her. I think that he thought that Tamar was an easier win because she was extra as you know what. And I really do believe this. Taryn noted it earlier that he wanted to reward loyalty. I do think that was a part of his thinking. Like I'm sure in his mind, he should have won. So he's like, well, of the two of these people, they're probably about similar. Maybe Lolo is a harder beat, but I definitely want to reward Tamar for being loyal to me because that's what's important to him. So I think that's an aspect of what he was thinking all along.
I didn't even think
he was thinking about like winning by the end. Yeah. I think he was kind of just like, I'm just going to reward loyalty and I'm just going to get to the end. And essentially it's all going to play out as it's going to play out. But I don't think he was really like strategizing and thinking who's going to get the most votes and who can he beat and anything like that. I really think if he was really thinking strategically, then he would have taken Dina along. So
I think he was genuinely upset with Lolo that she wouldn't promise to take him to the end. And he wanted to punish that while rewarding Tamar for saying she would. Yep. And I think that when he says, I'm not about counting votes. I think he was genuine about that. And, you know, it turned out he didn't have to count any votes because he didn't get any.
Okay. Let's just talk through real quick. I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but Ricky versus Lolo, if we could. Okay. Taryn, have you done the math on this?
I mean, I have no idea.
Because now we know Ricky's going to be bad. And I kind of feel like that Lolo might have a little, like, she might be a little delusional, but she's going to have a little more energy than.
I think she'll have more fire in her for these speeches. So I could see her being like, I played my heart out. I want to win this.
I've never won anything. This is it. You know, we know that Ricky's going to be like a bump on a log. Lolo's going to have some fight. Is it close?
You know, but prior,
I don't think it's unanimous.
Prior to today, all of the social media likes from the jurors were very sort of anti Lolo and Tamar, or at least prior to the Monday night episode, I should say. It was very anti Lolo and Tamar with some like, but if you have to, Ricky. And then after the Monday night episode, we saw immediately after, we saw a few people start liking anti-Lolo things more specifically. And Tamar was not really in the hating club anymore. And then by today, it was all about no Lolo, no Ricky. It was all of a sudden Ricky. We all hate Ricky. So I don't know what happened. I know they got together, a lot of the jury members, prior to the vote, and they discussed it, which I think contributed toward them all getting on the same page about, you know, the direction they were heading. So I think we'll probably just need to ask them if they had to decide between Ricky and Lolo. My guess would have been Ricky, but given how poorly he did, I really don't know.
Yeah, you know, we saw Tamar, Brent, fight with people in the house, but it seems that she also had good times with people in the house, where with Ricky, I feel like that there were not a ton of good times necessarily, where he didn't have as many fights, but he also didn't have as many, like, as Tom Green said, you know, the person that made me laugh the most.
The thing is that, like, Tamar, as you have always pointed out to me, she's more like the dog, and I feel like Ricky is more like the cat in the equation. Like, she's the one where you can see it on her face. Like, is she happy? Is she sad? Is she authentic? You know it. Ricky is more shy and more reserved, and he can be a little persnickety at times to the point where you're, like, questioning, like, are you being a prick to me on purpose, or are you just kind of that kind of guy?
Just to parse I have said that you are more like a dog. I've never said Tamar was anything like a dog. I just want to
set the... I'm trying to use the analogy. that I Rob has always said that I'm the dog and Taryn's the cat. So I'm trying to make the analogy that in this here, right here, that the Tamar is more like the dog because you can see exactly how she's feeling. Like she's 100% herself.
Yeah, Brent wags his tail. You know how he's feeling. Taryn is a little more aloof.
Said that? This is like a thing that always happens. I've never heard this before in my life.
Oh, you've never heard this? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
What do you think,
Taryn,
Melissa?
This is standard stuff.
Taryn was when I was just bitching about you randomly one day. You know.
Something to be pointed out. Ariel on Twitter, she does the diary room counts for the show, and sent me along the.
Oh yes, thank you.
Something important to note, I think, is that Tamar had the most diary rooms across the whole season with 90 total, and Ricky had less than half of that. And so if we're looking at Ricky and Lolo, if we're saying that diary rooms probably matter at least to some degree since they are watching the show, Lolo had about 50% more diary rooms than Ricky. So that potentially could point toward, maybe one of the reasons why they were so anti-Ricky is because they never even saw him on the show. They just heard about all of the worst parts from the feeds and never saw any good stuff from the show. Not that Lolo had good stuff on the show as opposed to Tamar. So maybe that wouldn't have mattered, but something to look at.
Just to be clear, I have an opinion on this. I think Lolo beats Ricky at the end. Based on what I know now, based on the way Ricky behaved and the way I think Lolo would have behaved, I think that she would have gotten the votes. I think that they would have voted for her. I think there was an element of her that they would have felt sorry for, that she really needed the money. I don't think Ricky would have given them a reason to vote for him. And I think Lolo would have made a push for herself. So I think Lolo wins. It's not unanimous, but I do think she gets 5 votes.
I think it would have been close.
I think it would have been close for sure. Melissa, I feel like that this jury was almost like voting blocks where I feel like that we had Jonathan, Lochte, and Joey. That was a block. They were probably going to vote the same. And then you had the Tom and Cato voting block. And then, the people that just came out of the house, that it seemed like that they were sort of at least comparing notes in the end. So when we look at that, I think that that's very important to follow. And, I think that would have been interesting to see in Ricky versus Lolo, especially the Tom and Cato. How would they have done? One of the things that stuck out in my head, the way that Ricky Williams smiled when he voted against Tom Green, Taryn. I feel like that was, to me, that if I'm Tom Green, I look at that and I say, I have to get back at Ricky somehow.
I mean, I guess so.
By the grace of me, you're here. I'm not going to give it to you twice. I'm not going to take you off the block and then also award you the victory.
I see that. I mean, I think that he could have found reasons for all of the people there to have that line of reasoning. I think that the voting blocks combined, I think that I saw a lot of pictures with Jonathan in his group with Tom and Cato. They were taking a lot of pictures together and talking about, hey, we're deciding our jury vote. What do you guys think? And so I think all 5 of them were going to be a block together no matter what. So I think that's important to look at. And then, heading into the finals, I think that's I would probably put my money on Lolo. I think
so close, just like that hurdle.
But it's because of her own mistakes too. If she would have said what she needed to say, like Rob, it was Shades of Christmas from Big Brother 19, getting all the way to the end and then saying like, just stop playing the game. Insanity. Like, you come all of this way. Like, all you have to do is say one more thing. What,
Lolo was in love with somebody in the final two?
Huh?
No. it's an old joke.
Okay. She was in love with the Alliance.
Yes,
the Alliance.
One of my favorite moments of the night tonight, Brent, was when that they talked to Jonathan and then they don't seem to care for him. And then Julie said, and then once Jonathan was gone, then it was really all about Lochte and Joey Lawrence, that bromance that they had. And Jonathan was like, hey, but I was, and then the camera just like slowly like crops him out of the shot. I need to see a gif of that. I need to see a gif of Jonathan.
I need to see a gif of that too. Hold on, by the way, I got Catty Jargon on Twitter and Umberto from our group were living for the fact that they just cut Jonathan out totally, that they couldn't stand it.
Directly, cut Jonathan out. That's enough for him.
I'm telling you, we really dodged. I got a Catty said on Twitter, we really dodged a bullet that he was evicted during the first week.
Zoom in. Yeah. Zoom in. All right, get him out of the shot.
Also, Ryan Lochte saying, or Julie saying, like, I'm sure you, it seems like you made a lot of lifelong friends. And he's like, yeah, absolutely. I made so many lifelong friends. I made two lifelong friends.
I know, right?
What about us? And he's still saying these two. And everyone was like, hey.
Which is exactly how he played the game, by the way. That's exactly how he played the game, was all about him and Lochte. To a lesser extent, Joey. Like, he couldn't get outside of his own head.
Taryn, was there one person that you were most surprised that Ricky did not get their vote?
Natalie surprised me because I was expecting her to vote for Ricky, but I think the problem was that Lola was so pissed that she got cut, and right. I think that Natalie also got very upset that Ricky would cut Lolo, and so I think that she switched her vote at the last minute.
To me... Yes. Melissa, I'm surprised Lochte didn't throw Ricky a vote here. I feel like that he just got peer pressured by Jonathan and Joey to vote for Tamar. I feel like that, you know, athlete to athlete, I was surprised.
I just feel like I think you were spot on with the voting blocks thing. And I think that the fact that they're allowed to hang out outside of the house and they're allowed to talk about it and they're allowed to share things, I just feel like they felt the pressure to all vote together, because then also, I mean, you can't blame one person, you know, because everyone's voting the same way. So it's like, hey, we all agreed that this was the way we were going to do it, rather than like, I'm going to do my own thing. Even though I'd honestly probably prefer everyone to just do their own thing. But, you know, when you have people talking, you have people on social media hearing all the stands of people and the various people, you know, telling you the bad stuff about other people. And I just feel like it made sense.
Yeah. By the way, I can't co-sign that. I don't think that's what happened, that he got peer pressured into voting for Tamar. He was like, he loved Tamar in the house. I mean, I know it's a ways back, Melissa, mm-hmm. but he really had a great relationship with the Lochte I'm talking about, to the point where he had nicknames for her, and she like was calling him nicknames in the jury questioning. So I feel like that one was an easier call than maybe we're making it.
Okay.
I don't think it was peer pressure. I'm just saying, like, I feel like, I don't think anybody really felt comfortable going against the grain of their group. I think everyone came together. They probably debated true. It. They talked about it. And they were like, okay, this is the way we're doing it, rather than like, okay, let's talk about it. And now I'm going to go do my own thing. I think everyone kind of was like in agreement on what they were going
to
do.
It just so happened that the person that he wanted to vote for lined up with what the group was thinking. So.
Yeah, they basically came out and said that that's what they were doing, that they were coming together and they were going to discuss it. And, you know, they were coming up with voting strategies. And I saw a bunch of people like get upset about this. And it was like, where have you been? We've been talking about how obviously these people are going to vote together since they got voted out. Like, of course they are. They're friends. They got voted out. They're hanging out together. Of course they're going to vote together. Like, it's inevitable.
Yeah. I liked when they put their votes in, and then Julie was like, okay, now we're going to talk to the jury about, now that they've seen the show, let's hear what they had to say. It's like, yeah, they already saw the show before they voted. Well, I don't know why we're making it like, all right, now that like things have really shifted, now that we've reached the point where we could talk about the show.
I know, right? You're right. I actually never thought about it that way.
They didn't ask the questions we wanted to be asked. They were like, did you make friends? Did you have fun? It's like, that's not what I want to hear about. I want to hear like the reactions to certain things that happen. I mean, honestly, like, what am I to expect? Big Brother always is a really, really bad jury segment and reunion.
Yes. Well, let's talk about the format of the show in a little bit. I want to come back to Tamar, and I would love to know, for Celebrity Big Brother 3, if we get that, what do Celebrity Big Brother players who, if they get the DVDs of the season, Taryn, or the Fire Stick of the season, and then they pop it in, what should they take away from Tamar Braxton, Taryn?
Well, this is something that I've been thinking about a lot, actually, because I think that there are things they should take away and things they will take away. I think that this is actually really good for the show, because there's been a lot of you know, winners that people disagree with, or at the very least, like, hey, you know, the better player didn't win because they were too mean. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is a case where if you're watching just the show, then you're seeing Ricky be pretty nice and chill, and you're seeing Tamar be really out there and yelling at people, and then she wins unanimously. And I think that can really help to counteract this sort of momentum that we've been going down with this idea of like, you have to always be nice all the time. And I think that's really great. I think that hopefully this bleeds into the regular season as well. I think we really needed something like this to happen. And then in terms of what I think they will actually take away from, I think that hopefully it will make them more aggressive, because we also saw on the episodes that Tamar was one of the more aggressive players on the season strategically, that she was lying to people. She was playing both sides. I think that she comes across as one of the better players just through the episode. Episodes alone. And I think that that is going to be really good, because what we saw last time was the people that seemed to be playing the most lost early or lost the jury vote. And so we came into this season and everyone was so scared to play the game. So I think that this is all good stuff for a potential third season of Big Brother Celebrity when all they watch is two episodes of this season.
Really great points. Really great points, because we heard so much in the preseason about how, like, oh, Ross lost the game because of how he, so don't be like, don't play like Ross did, because that's how you lose the game. And so we heard a ton of that, Melissa.
Yeah. And I mean, I agree with what both of you guys are saying. And in addition to that, I like the idea that Tamar was willing to go against the grain and go against her alliance to work with other people like Candy, because in these past seasons, we've seen a lot of, you know, once you join an alliance, like, you better stick with it. And that's your team for the whole time. And nobody flip flops, because the second you go to another side or you work with other outside people, you get knocked off. So it's nice to see that you can win the game and you can work in between alliances. And I think that that'll be good for future seasons for sure.
Yeah, by the way, Philippe in the chat says, be fun like Tamar and be upfront and not backstabbing like Nolicky. I have a theory in Big Brother that you are allowed to backstab like one time, but when you get to the point where you're backstabbing, like, and jumping from alliance to alliance to alliance, like Nolicky did for like the first three to four eviction cycles of Celebrity Big Brother, you're to the point where no one likes you. And I don't think you can recover much of that in the end. So I do feel like in a way that you can play aggressive like Tamar did. But she also, as Melissa notes, she freelanced. And I do think that also gained her points with people, to the point where they knew that she was loyal to Candy. Like, she may not be loyal to many people, but she was loyal to Candy there at the end, and she would have taken her to the final two if she had the chance. Probably lost.
And you know, and can I just say also, like, first of all, the fact that she handled Tom and Kato exactly the way you're supposed to handle someone like that, where you say, look, you don't try and sit there and sugarcoat it and say, I had nothing to do with the way you got out. So, like, that wasn't me, you know, like Paul tried to do. You say, like, look, I had to get you two out because you guys were the strongest competitors. You were my biggest threats. And so I had to get
in
you
the
out.
Jury segment.
In a jury segment. Yes. In a jury segment. Yeah, no, but
I'm just that saying, was like, perfect. No, no,
no. The way she handled it throughout the season, you know, whatever.
Could have been better.
The way she got it, the way she like handled that, the reveal of telling them, you know, I had to get you guys out in the jury segment. I mean, if I'm just sitting in Tom and Kato's position, I'm looking at her and I'm like, okay, she better have something good to say because I'm pissed off. And then she says that and I'm like, yeah, all right, I am pretty good. I was a big threat. Yeah, okay, cool. Like,
yeah.
I think this this jury questioning, it really showed her knowledge of the game. I think this really is where and I was talking about it this morning when, you know, with Matt, when he was talking about how he felt like her emotional side was kind of the thing that would win the day. But I my argument was, I think it's her intelligence, her strategy that is going to be the thing that wins the jury over. And I think that at the very least, that was what was being shown in her jury questioning answers and so on and so forth. She knows like she knows the history of the show. She's seen what works in these jury speeches. You can see it with people who know the game. Although not always, not all people who know the game have been able to do this successfully, as we've seen recently. But Tamar did. And so she knows exactly the kind of ways to answer. Like it's like she probably watched, Survivor China. She watched Todd like, kill it in the jury. Right. She probably watched, Dan Gieseling on season 10. Kill it with the jury. And so she knows exactly how to, like, what the kind of answer she needs to say. For instance, hey, Tom, the reason I needed to get you out is because you were just so amazing.
You're so good. I think another thing that really worked in her favor is that I think that she was kind of seen as a wild card. So where that the people that are sort of like really dug in on one side, and then if they betray or they flip, I think that's seen as more of a thing that's a negative. But somebody who's a wild card or temperamental, I think it's that people forgive it more because they say like, oh, that's just them. That's just Tamar. You know, she's volatile. So.
I have always contended. So, Taryn, I have to bring this up. You know, I came with receipts, all right? So I have an honest question for you, okay? So I want to play something, and then I have a question, all right? So here we go. I hope
you can play something from like a week ago.
This is,
No, this is like...
I just want to set this up. You are about to play audio off of your phone into the microphone.
It will work fine.
It's not a Big Brother finale until Brent is playing clips
just go with me on this.
Off his phone, okay.
3.5 days to go, okay?
It was... All right. Saturday?
All right. Hold it right up there.
All right. Well, hold on.
Push it right up against the microphone if you're going to try to make this work.
All right. This is what Brent was late for the podcast for.
Hot!
Okay. All right.
Tamar's jury management's just, it's really, really falling. Even just last night, I was saying, I think Lolo probably needs a miracle to win this game. And I think her miracle is Tamar Braxton because... I feel like Lola might be able to beat her at this time.
Okay. All right. So you're playing. Let me repeat that just for people that are, have to turn up their volume all the way to get that. All right. So you're playing a clip, and this is the aforementioned, you said Taryn on Saturday said that
Liana,
Tamar had bad, had terrible jury management. Now that we'll give Taryn the chance to respond, but this was coming off of a weekend where on Friday night, she's like, clapping and dancing as Tom Green is walking out the door in Tom Green's face.
And Taryn was on here clutching his pearls about it. And I said, calm down, queen. It's all good.
Hold on. Let's pull up the Brent Twitter account that you were clutching your pearls about this moment as well.
I said it wasn't a good look, but I still believe that she could win.
So when you say it, it's tempered.
I really have a question. So, like, are you contending that this Monday night episode, which you talked about, how the editing was so good for Tamar, is the reason that she won in the end? Or was it because, it feels to me like, and I'm not trying to shade you, I'm saying this honestly because I know some other people are thinking this in the chat. It feels like you're trying to say that because of her greatly edited episode on CBS on Monday, which you talked about on Twitter, that you think that that's the reason why things switched and the jury got behind Tamar in the end on social media, and that's why they ultimately voted for her in the end.
What I've said is that when I was tracking the jurors on social media, it was very anti Tamar and pro Ricky up until Monday night when I started seeing some more pro Lola or pro Tamar things. I don't think that's the thing that changed their minds necessarily, but we'll find out. But what you're playing from is something that I was talking about from Friday night. Which is almost a week ago. I completely completely changed my mind the very next day. When we talked about it on the roundtable last night, and we had talked about some other things before, and I've changed my mind since then. You were in agreement with me at the time, and yes, I was hyperbolic, we're always hyperbolic. I'd been saying, because I made the joke that Lolo needs a miracle, and I was like, hey, maybe Tamar is that miracle. She might be able to beat Tamar.
Where I come from here's the thing. And this is my, I'll wrap it up with this, that Taryn and Liana on Saturday, I really feel like we're really bagging on Tamar to the point where like they totally discounted her chances of winning the game, which then caused me to tweet out, hey, I don't co-sign this. I just want you all to know that I think that, that even with all of this, with her dancing on Tom's grave, I still think she can win. And here's why. Mm-hmm. And she ultimately won in the end. So but
I think there was a chance for everyone to win though. I feel like it was a situation where I could absolutely see a scenario where Ricky wins. I see a scenario where Lolo wins. I see a scenario where Dina wins. I see a scenario where everyone wins. I don't think Tamar was doing a good job with jury management at all. But yeah, it turns like, out that it didn't matter.
I have bagged on every single person in this house.
Everyone like, was and doing
that,
a bad
and that
job.
Night, that night it was Tamar because I felt like Tamar was the worst.
Yeah. Okay. And also, let's look at this, you know, fourth dimensionally, where, you know, we're talking about where maybe at the absolute nadir of the, you know, Tamar's prospects with the jury, if Taryn says that on that day she's doing worse than Lolo, but things change over the course of the next 5 days, you know, we always talk about the you want to be the underdog, and here's Tamar. She ends up being in the situation where now Ricky Williams kind of ends up with all of this power down the stretch, and he's seen as the person who's taking out everybody in the house, and now Tamar is the person who is fighting back against that, and so I think that she is she's gaining support, so she might have touched bottom on Saturday. You know, it doesn't mean that Taryn is wrong to say that on Saturday and then can climb up for a number of reasons.
I found Brent's tweet, the most incendiary hyperbolic thing I said. Brent says, as someone who loves Tamar, I'm inclined to agree.
I think that's taken out of context.
I don't remember that.
But let's look.
That wasn't me.
Find it.
Some other Brent. That was Trent Wagamot.
Yes, and Tamar did great down the stretch, and she
jury questions was great.
Had a great finish.
Lolo, for example, I thought she was doing terribly with jury management. Then we start seeing all those tweets and stuff, and I'm like, oh, okay, maybe she is doing a good job with jury management. Then she gets called out for potentially not being her.
Yeah.
And so then it's like, oh, never mind.
And
so everyone goes up and down and up and down, especially with these unsequestered juries. If it was a situation where everyone who leaves, that's it, it's sequestered, that's all they've seen of it, then I think we could say like Tamar really screwed up. But the fact that they could then watch the episode, see what was really going on behind the scenes, see her like character on the show, you know, all that stuff, and seeing the people react to her on Twitter, I just feel like all that stuff certainly helps Tamar. Do I think she would win if this was a sequestered jury? I don't know. Maybe not. Yes. But we don't need to know.
100%. I just want to make that clear, too. She wins in a sequestered jury, I think 9-0 as well. Like, seriously, she was fantastic. People coming out of the house thought that she was the one who was controlling everything. If she gets to the end and they don't even see any of her worst stuff, I think 100% she wins in the end. So this doesn't change anything, although I still would like to have a sequestered jury.
And one of the huge storylines of the season was the Tamar relationship with Candy. She ends up voting to keep Candy in the house, forcing Ricky Williams to make the solo vote to evict Candy, which Candy doesn't really like as she's coming out of the house, which really, I think, earns more goodwill for Tamar. Taryn, that she stuck by Candy, and even if it was to her detriment where she would have gone to the final two with her, I think that ended up being another big plus for Tamar.
Oh, for sure. And I just, Ricky's speech to evict Candy was not, it was just, I vote to evict Candy.
He's a Candy.
That was it. Candy, I don't think we've ever had something that brutal. It was like that moment in like the really realistic movies where somebody just gets shot in the head and you're just like, what? No, that was too fast. It was supposed to have a dramatic build. I'm not ready for this.
Yeah, he had to give it up to her. Like, I hate it when people go on and on in their speeches, but he needed to say something like 10, 15 seconds. They're like, hey, Candy, you're awesome. I'm so proud of you. I cannot beat you in the end, and I cannot give anybody else a chance to take you to the end, so I have to evict you here. So say anything like that.
Honestly, I feel like if it's a situation where you think you can beat them, I feel, or even if you don't think they played a very good game, I think the the best way to win jury votes is to be like, look, you're a great competitor. I don't know if I can beat you. I think I needed to get you out. Like, that's all you need to say, even if you're like, I think I can win. I think you can just say it.
Yeah, the correct way to do it is to cue it up so you don't hold them in suspense. You get up there and you say, Candy, I'm really sorry. I love you so much. Blah, 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 blah. Give her some time to, you know, say her name. Give her some time to accept it, to process it, and then say, I vote to evict you. And then everything's fine. But man, it was so brutal. She was crying.
Oh, no, right? That sucks. That was terrible.
So sad. You could tell how much she wanted it.
Because
I mean, you don't see these celebrities leave the house crying. That was like, it was clear that she wanted this and she was working at it. And it just,
I can't talk about it anymore.
Hey, Tara, do you think that she was being honest when she said to Julie Chen that she would have taken Ricky to the final two? Because she said something, I'm pretty sure, to that effect. Like, you know, he evicted me, although I would have taken him. So I think she might have.
But she said it was a bad move for Ricky to knock her out. So I would have taken him to the end.
Yeah, well, I think she would have beaten him unanimously.
Yeah, lost candy. Yeah. He would have lost to Candy 9-0.
But I said this last night, that Candy did try very hard not to lie in the house. So the fact that she gave him her word, I did think that she would follow through with that and take Ricky. So I do believe that would have been the case, which would have been interesting to see, given how hard Tamar was fighting to keep her in the game. That would definitely have ruined their friendship, I think.
Right. I want to talk about some of the other parts of the finale. Let's talk about the good and the bad. Let's start with the good. We had some fun comps tonight, Brent.
Fun comps.
Yes, I enjoyed them. I still think that the final HOH is a little too easy, but these are celebrities. So you know what? I'd rather them get more answers right than wrong. And even then, some people had problems with it. Yeah. So really fun. I thought the veto competition was great. Again, not hurdles. I had actually forgotten that they hadn't showed the final five HOH yet.
Yeah. Yeah,
like to me, that was like a week ago. So,
right, that one was fine. The veto competition,
the veto competition was fun. That was something that we had really seen before. I think we've seen lasers
since Big Brother 3.
Big Brother 3, Marcellus,
yeah,
that got the blockumentary.
Yeah,
I think we said, Taryn, that should be they should do that again.
We said this is the only good competition on the whole season. They should bring it back, and look what happened. Yeah, they listened.
Yeah, it looked really good.
But we had Dina crawling under the lasers, which I loved, followed immediately by Tamar doing the scream when the slow pan
football
into the lasers. This is my favorite competition of the whole season.
That was really fun. And then the little mini celebrities, that was so funny with the little kids. I smiled at that.
Like, I knew they were trying to make me smile, and yet I didn't really smile.
And it worked.
And it worked, exactly. I will also say the good, I think Tamar Braxton, I don't think we talked about this. We talked about the fact that she gave it up to Tom and Kato, like, hey, I couldn't beat you. But then they said, what do you regret? And she said something I did not think she was capable of saying. She didn't like own her behavior, but she said, you know, I think I was too emotional in the house. And I let it get the best of me sometimes. And I'm like, oh, I feel like the heavens opened up. And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much for saying that. Because I needed you to say that if I was a juror, like to own some of your extraness and say, that was probably, I'd like to have that one back. And she did. And I was so happy. I didn't think she was capable of doing it, to be honest.
I don't want to be hyperbolic here, but have we ever seen on any of these shows one person so great with the jury and the person they're next to so bad with the jury questioning? Like, have we ever had two?
I feel like Andy in Big Brother 15.
And Jean Marie.
That's
a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. As far as the questions go, and they were, here's the thing too, they were really open-ended questions. They weren't anything specific. And then we need to keep this in mind next year, Taryn, when we're thinking about like who's going to win at the end, because none of these jurors, I thought if they came at Tamar, that she was going to let him have it. I thought if they came at her, that she was going to get defensive. But none of the questions were specific. It was just like, what was your best move? What did you regret? What are you proud of? Things like that. So I think in that kind of a format, it really rewards the person with the biggest personality.
Right.
Well, yeah, because again, it's they have to prepare them ahead of time. They're not allowed to just answer, ask a random question.
And
they went in with five people still in the game, so it couldn't even remotely be specific.
But, you know, but Ricky was so bad and Tamar was so good in terms of how they're answering the questions. Yes. And you always want to put the person that's asking you a question, they're asking it for a reason. And you want to give an answer that sort of like is what they want to hear, or at least has to do with them. Ricky was asked the question of, by Natalie Eve Marie, what was your biggest regret in the house? And he said, not winning the slaughterhouse competition.
That was so
which
dumb.
Was like, what? Who's that impressing? Who is that impressing?
Oh, like you're just campaigning for a vote that you already have, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it was perfectly represented who Ricky is, because he's a very, he has social anxiety. He's a very introspective guy, and that's why he thinks so deeply about so many things, and also has trouble getting that across to other people. So his answers were very introspective. They were all about him and like what he was thinking and how he was operating in the house, whereas Tamar's answers were all about the jury and how she related to them. He was telling his own story and she was telling the story of the jury.
Which is the exercise. Really makes,
yes. Right.
Well, I wish Tamar had done a little bit of better job explaining.
Oh my God, Melissa.
Look, I'm allowed to say it.
9-0.
I wish she had done a little bit better explaining her game to the jury during these times, but she did a perfect job playing to the jury.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like to see people really like own their game and understand like why, what made them get to that point. So when they're asked like, what was your best move? You can actually, like, I don't feel like she or Ricky answered what was your best move or what was your worst move or whatever in an accurate way, which I thought was their best or worst move. Yeah. And instead they kind of just said random things, but then like played to the jury. And I thought that Tamar did a great job of playing to the jury, which is so important.
Yeah, so I want to talk about that question. So Tom Green asks you, what was the best move that you guys
I thought he threw away his card. Karen didn't even look at it.
And so Ricky Williams says his best move in the game was not freaking out the time that he was on the block, which I thought was the worst possible answer, because it's almost like that, hey, by the grace of Tom Green, Ricky Williams stayed in the game. Ricky Williams is claiming ownership of that move, Taryn, by it was Ricky Williams not freaking out was why Tom Green used the veto to save him that time.
Exactly. And again, it's focused on him and his internal
and
workings.
Taking away from Tom, who's asking this question. Yes.
Exactly. And I think that Jonathan is probably looking in this question for an answer of it's when I manipulated the women to take Jonathan out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Tom is looking for something involving him. Like it's, you know, we had a great battle, Tom, and you were the one that was magnanimous enough to let me, get through. And that's really, you know, that's what won me the game. It's your move to keep me in the game. Something along those lines is probably what Tom was looking
for. Yeah, I really wanted him to Rob to bring up, as Taryn says, like I wanted Ricky to talk about the Jonathan moves, the getting the girls to switch over and backstab Lockie.
That was his best move.
He could have gotten all three of those votes maybe if he would have owned his stuff there, and he just like it was just terrible, guys. It really was.
And then also we had Tom asked the same question to Tamar. What was your best move in the game? And that's when she says to Tom, my best move was taking out the two people that were going to win the game. It was Tom and Kato, as we've talked about. But it on his question, which again, you know, shades of Todd with Jean Robert, shades of Malcolm with Cochran in Survivor, Caramoe, and to do that, it was really, such a solid, great move. So I can't speak highly enough about the jury performance.
It was really great, to the point where I know I shaded her earlier in the podcast for agreeing with Taryn about Tamar's chances, but Liana was on Twitter going, so Tamar is absolutely killing these questions. Ricky is also there.
Yeah. And, you know, in fairness to Ricky, he's a guy that suffered from, you know, anxiety. And, now he's on live television answering questions with people that are mad at him. Probably not his ideal circumstance, where Tamar is a TV host. You know, she's way better at this than Ricky Williams is.
Another mistake to not take
the professional athlete in Lolo.
Yeah. I do want to say in watching Ricky throughout the season and being somebody that was impressed by his gameplay and disappointed in his social game, I actually did appreciate his final speech and sort of explaining who he is and sort of owning the fact that he has a lot of faults and saying, like, you know, I am just kind of a shy, nerdy guy that has issues with this, and, you know, people are imperfect. And I did appreciate that. Obviously, this is not the time for it. The jury is not going to understand anything that you're saying, and it has nothing to do with the game. But I think I understood Ricky a little bit better through that process.
His final two speech at the end, I thought, was his best moment of the finale, where he was authentic to the point where I started to get a little bit nervous, because I was like, oh, if they're wanting to vote for Ricky, he finally gave them an avenue to do so. But then earlier, Tamar's speech in the final two, I thought, was absolutely wonderful as well, because she talked about the fact that, you know, hey, she let the jury have ownership over her, because she's like, look, I came into this house, you know, I had lost my job, I had a rough time, lost my husband, lost this, lost that, and you guys really, you brought me back up. And she let the jury, like, own her, to the point where now they have some ownership over Tamar. Like, they're like, if we crown her, we're making her better again.
Be kind.
Son. Yes, exactly. So I really feel like she just nailed it all the way around.
Yeah,
I feel like she must watch Survivor, because this is something that's happened a lot on Survivor lately, where the jury speeches, they always have the sort of like, hey, these are the problems I've gone through in my life.
It's like the Sophie moment. Like,
yeah, it's like the last like five seasons of Survivor, ever since Jeremy, I think it's just all about like the big story behind who you are and the hardships you've gone through. And we don't usually see that on Big Brother, but I think Tamar kind of brought it here. So I'll be interested to see if she watches Survivor.
Okay. All right. I thought that Tom Green, when he had to vote, I thought that was a fun moment where he sort of paused, like, this is a tough decision between Tamar and Ricky. That was very funny.
He chose the person who made him laugh more.
Is that a callback?
As we know, when he had his arguments with Tamar, they shared some knowing, understanding looks about how they were doing this for TV.
Well, Taryn, you talked a lot about the time that Ricky Williams told Tom Green that he wasn't funny and he shouldn't be in comedy also.
Yes. Yeah. And Cato also did not get any laughs from.
What was Cato Kaelin even talking about tonight when he was going, this is like, cut his mic, get baby Cato out here.
Yeah. Oh my God. Baby Cato was like spot on.
Nailed him.
Oh my God.
He really did. I couldn't believe that Cato did a dad joke when he walked up to the key box and was like, I can't get this thing to start. I'm like,
you can't believe he did a dad joke?
I mean, I know what the other guy.
That's his thing.
Like,
that's
I know that's all he does is dad jokes, but like, I was like, now in the finale, don't do it now.
Also, Tom 100% was trying to rub it in everyone's face, including the final two who didn't know yet. Like, you know, things were really hard in the house, but then I got out of the house and I saw everyone talking
from the,
about
from the Big Brother the fans.
Yeah. And I saw how much support I had. And man, you got those fans. They're just so great that they love me so much. Don't they?
Yes.
Don't they?
Yes. And then he got the America's Favorite Player.
Yes. And I feel like this was so representative of who Tom was, where like, and I feel like I might have this issue too, where like, it's hard for me to accept compliments in a non-awkward way, but like Tom winning the America's Favorite, he was just like, thanks guys. I really like this. Thank you so much. I really appreciate everything that happens.
You get people like crying and being like, oh my God. And Tom was just like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, Tom is all about tell, don't show. Cause he just says his emotions. And that's part of what was an issue in the house.
It's like, is this guy being serious with me? Cause he's saying these things. Is he mocking me? Like, what's he saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could totally see that, like reading it that way in the house. Totally.
Yeah. But I do think that there is some, it's interesting that, you know, Tamar and Tom are really the two people in this season that really, I feel like we're trying to, or at least thinking about trying to entertain the person who's sitting at home, the person who's sitting watching the live feeds. I think that they were the two people.
Tom and Cato?
No, Tom and Tamar.
Oh, Tamar. I'm sorry. Yes. I thought you said Tom and Kato.
Sorry, I'm sorry. If I said Kato, I meant
looking for things.
If I said Kato, Kato might have been thinking about the person at home, but he was not delivering. But
no, for real. Like, honestly, my friend Stina Nitz on Twitter was like, you know, Tamar gave us GIFs and memes and, you know, sound bites and diary rooms and strategy and positioning. What more do we want in a Big Brother 2 winner? I'm a Big Brother winner. I'm so happy with this win. I'm like, it's just like Christmas. It's not often I get what I want on reality TV, Rob.
I do think you're onto something though, Rob, in terms of, you know, giving the producers what they want in terms of being in the diary room, getting a lot of diary rooms on the episodes, being an entertaining presence. Ricky was the complete opposite with that. Yes. Like, Ricky was not in the episodes. He was not giving the producers what they want. Lolo was entertaining, but unintentionally, and she often pissed the producers off. Yep. I think that it does, like, the edit matters a lot on Big Brother Celebrity. Oh, yeah. Both in terms of the celebrities watching and then the fans reacting, because the edit is very influential to the fans. Even the live theaters are influenced by the edit quite a lot. And so it makes a difference. And if you're not able to give a good entertaining, confessional, be fun in the house, then I do think you're going to have a much harder time winning the season.
Okay. Yeah, there's also a lot of talk of everyone saying, who do we want to represent our season? And I think that if they watch the episode and they're seeing some entertaining person, you know, who's really telling the narrative of the show, and then you see someone in the background who's really not a part of it, you want that person who's telling the narrative to be the person who represents their show. And these people know TV. They know entertainment. They know, you know, what the narrative should be. And so that's kind of, that totally influences how they vote in the end. And
Ricky, on the other hand, like, he doesn't know TV to the point where he's getting half the diary rooms of someone like Tamar. He's so quiet in the diary room. I think the only way someone like Ricky wins at the end is if he's up against a really caustic personality, someone like Lolo, although as we looked at things, like, he may not even have been able to beat her, but because it's with Ricky, it's just, he's so shy and it's all about himself and he's so introspective, as Darren notes, and like, he's so small by comparison, and I don't feel like that can be rewarded unless you just outright hate the other person in the final two.
Could you expand on that? What do you mean he's so small?
He's just quiet and he doesn't give you a lot of sound bites and he doesn't give you, like, he doesn't tell you what he's thinking. I mean, the only reason that as in the live feeders, really realized what Ricky was thinking was, up until this point, we're like, okay, I think he's going to take Tamar to the final two, but we didn't know. And then finally we got confirmation of it at the beginning of tonight's episode that he definitely was going to, but he just doesn't give you a lot. And thus, I think by comparison, he's not on the episode a lot. And even when he's in the diary room, he's so quiet. And I just feel like that just by definition, like, smaller TV presence.
He did have that one line tonight where he said, what, a Heisman Trophy winner going and stealing a bunch of memorabilia?
Where have I heard this?
You think that really burned Kato up? That way, Ricky's making OJ jokes.
I know, right? Oh my gosh! Yeah, that was Mooch. Like, back in Washington, I was there.
they give it to Baby Mooch. All right. So we talked about some of the good from this episode tonight. Let's talk about the bad. Probably.
Oh, speaking of Mooch,
yes, the worst of the night.
Oh my god!
We are going to the biggest twist of the season is here, and we're gonna talk to the Mooch. And boy, what a waste of time to talk to the Mooch, who was also gonna say nothing. Every single person, Mooch, what was it like living with are you kidding me, Lolo? Oh my god, what a competitor. Tamar, oh my god,
wasted so much time on a non-house guest when it could have been spent on more jury questions, a reunion with the actual house guests.
Yeah. When Candy came out, it was like 10 seconds. All right, Candy, we really got to wrap this up. All right, yeah, look, you're not the Mooch here.
This reminded me, you know, like on Survivor when Jeff Probst brings up like a fan and does like a short little interview with a fan. This was like if they took that fan, stuck them on the stage, did a 10-minute interview interview with them, ask them about Trump, and then put them sitting next to the jury and had them sit next to the jury when the jury was talking about things. And they're just sitting there awkwardly like they don't belong, because they don't. But for some reason, they're on the stage. And it was just weird.
Yeah. I'm at home and I'm making notes on my notepad. Okay. And then Mooch comes on the show and gives like these non-answers to the point where I am actually bored. And I am so frustrated with the finale where I'm just like, you know, like what are they doing here? What is this?
Like we were literally, I felt like we were watching CNN when all of a sudden Julie comes back at him. Like, well, what about Elizabeth Warren?
Well, no, she, yeah. So Julie didn't,
you disagree.
She's like, like, oh my God. Like what am I watching? I was about to be like, oh shoot, I need to change the channel. Yeah. I'm on the wrong station.
I saw that, and this went over like a lead balloon on Twitter. But Brent, I thought that Julie, she's like, all right, I'm not going to let you out of here without talking about Trump. And I thought that Julie asked a pretty hard hitting question of that. She said, she asked him basically about how Elizabeth Warren said recently that Donald Trump might not survive his first term in office, which I think was kind of a hard hitting question. But then we got into a whole thing there. Do you feel like that Julie asking about that stuff was worth the having the mooch there?
No, they tried to make magic happen in the same spot twice, and it's just not going to happen. You had Omarosa last year.
We should have had Omarosa come up from the audience.
Oh my God, that would have been great. We would have got something then. Twitter would have been
like, "Hello, Anthony."
This was like, God, like not even a lead balloon. It's just like there was nothing here. It was just like, why are you wasting our time with this? Like, I'm not kidding.
You know what?
Like, I wasn't even aware that happened because I literally fast forward. I refused to watch this. I was not going to be treated like a stupid viewer. I'm not going to watch it.
I think this was Julie Chen's audition for her next gig.
I was going to say.
What? On Face the Nation?
Yeah.
Do we think that Julie went rogue and that she was like, hey, I'm a hard-hitting journalist. We know she's gone rogue a couple times this season.
I don't know. It was not great. But we did have some other news involving Big Brother Celebrity today as well. Oh, what? So we have been following the Dina Lohan catfish saga over this last week or so. And we saw Tamar even brought it up on the episode tonight. But Brent, do we have an update in the Dina Lohan catfish saga?
Taryn, I think you've been following this more than me. I couldn't even be bothered
Took
with
a
it.
Chance.
Apparently, the catfish is not a catfish. It's a real guy.
Taryn, what's the update?
His name is Jesse. The person that we talked about it on the live feed update, he did come out after the catfish episode on Twitter, and he posted the same three pictures of himself a bunch of times. And he said, hey, comma, I'm real, comma, I love Dina. It was like, okay, this seems
the
a little
commas,
weird.
The commas
are, let's chill on the commas, dude. I did some more research. I did find him on Facebook, and he had a lot more pictures on Facebook. So I was kind of in the camp of like, this is either a real person or he's very good at catfishing. But
it's possible that he's a real person, but he's not the person that's talking to Dina Lohan. So he's like some guy.
No,
so
here's the update.
Yes. So what has happened is that Nev, I believe is his name. Neve.
Right?
Sorry, I didn't watch the show. From the catfishing show on MTV, he was all over this after the episode aired. He's like, I want to find Dina's catfish.
Well, of course he was.
And so he has tweeted out that he has, in fact, found the guy. His name is Jesse. More details to be coming soon. He said he teased that the story is actually pretty crazy. There were also some articles about, I believe, Michael Lohan. I don't really know who he is in relation to Dina.
He talked to him on the phone for a while.
Yes.
He got in contact with Jesse, talked to him on the phone, and Jesse said that he had spoken with Lindsay on the phone a couple of times. So he was hurt when Lindsay tweeted out, Dina, stop with the weird catfish stuff. He was like, but I've talked to you on the phone, Lindsay.
Sorry.
You know what?
Sorry, Dad.
I don't know.
Sorry,
still don't
Dad.
I still don't know because, okay, the story doesn't add up. When he says, you know, I'm not a technology guy. I'm old fashioned. Well, he's been on Twitter since like 2013 and he's taking a bunch of selfies. Like, I'm sorry. I don't see that as like the old fashioned type of guy.
And also in one of his selfies, he's holding an iPhone.
An iPhone. He's literally, there's an iPhone and he's like got a selfie of him while he's on an iPhone. Like, this guy is not an old fashioned guy who still listens to CDs or what he says or whatever he said.
Here's the best part though. They were apparently trying to get him to come on the show on the finale. And this is all hearsay, but apparently he was like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't. Like my mom is sick, so I can't fly out, which is very unfortunate if it's true, but it also just, is exactly what a catfish would say. You know what I mean? But for the record, I do believe he is a real person. Yes. And I think we're going to get an update on this.
This guy is a real person. I don't necessarily believe this is the guy that's been talking to Dina Lohan.
No. Well, look, if Neve says Michael Lohan tweeted, the catfish has been caught, but he's not a fish at all. Actually a great guy. Just spent an hour on the phone with him. Blessings, Dina.
I don't believe Michael Lohan for one second. He's literally suing Dina Lohan right now.
That's what confused me.
Make her happy at all.
I don't know.
He's literally in a lawsuit with her. So I don't believe for a second that he's like, congrats on your new bow, Dina. Brent, like, I don't believe that.
Should they have gotten Jesse Nadler on the show? Julie could have sat down and had a one-on-one with Jesse Nadler. Tell me, do you think Donald Trump will make it to another term?
I would have been more entertained with that. The mooch. At least this would have been something that happened on the season that actually happened on the season.
I liked when Julie asked, like, are you guys mad at the mooch? Like, no, only the viewers are.
Yeah, only the viewers are. Like, I'm just so over them on this, trying to push this. But when she said, you were the biggest twist of the season, like, no, he was not. We don't even remember it.
What was the biggest twist of the season?
The biggest twist of the season was them trying to shoehorn in a safety competition.
The twists were busts.
Yeah.
It was a low bar to be the biggest twist of the season.
Oh, man. I just can't believe they were putting attention on the most embarrassing thing they've probably ever done.
Right?
I don't know. All right. We still have questions. We still have the questions from the listeners. Okay. Let's take a couple of them because we've gone really long, but this has been a very fun show. Okay. All right. Brent's going to take his jacket off here.
All right. I'm getting hot.
He's getting heating up. Okay. Let's take some questions. Gwen says, do we really believe that Jonathan knew who Ryan was before the season?
That was funny when Julie was like, but you'd heard of Ryan Lochte Goldman.
I guess
was
so.
Like,
I didn't.
Are you shading casting, saying that we didn't get famous enough people? Hold on. We get famous people. Let's
we've
be
had
clear
quite
about
enough
that.
Of you, Jonathan. We're tired of you. Go away. We don't like you. Go sit at that other table.
By the way, I want to bring up the fact that Jonathan said on Josh's Instagram, which Taryn talked about a couple days ago, that he would get up and leave. He would get up and leave if it was Ricky and Tamar in the final two. And he was still there last time.
Well, who was he rooting for?
See, what that's,
I don't know.
He's such a hater.
Well, that's the thing where it's like, I thought Tamar might have some trouble getting jury votes because I was looking at that stuff. Yeah. But now all of a sudden, everyone's so happy for her to win. I don't know what changed.
She always had
something
his back,
changed.
He said. Okay. This is one from Ninto55. If you could each give one piece of advice to the players of Celebrity Big Brother 3, what would you tell them? Okay. How about this? I'm going to change the question up. If anybody has advice for people going into Big Brother Celebrity 3.
Yeah.
Speak now.
Don't piss off the producers. Mm. I really feel like that's one of the biggest things you could do. This is an edited show, like Taryn talks about. It does have an impact on things. More than that, it has an impact on social media, which then has an impact on the potential jurors, that they're going to continue to do a non-sequestered jury, play nice with the producers so they don't treat you badly, and also try to remember that this is not a sequestered jury. And, you know, if you're like of 100% of things that you're going to say, maybe say like 80% of them, leave like the 20% of the most caustic stuff Because if Tamar never does the dancing on Tom Green's grave and saying something like, oh, he threatened me, if she leaves out like those two things, I think we easily would have predicted, or Taryn would have easily predicted Tamar win at the end. I always did.
No. Oh, of course you always did, Mr. I'm inclined to agree. But I have an idea for a future Celebrity Big Brother house guest, if they are listening to this podcast, as I know all of them are, that what they should do is after a house guest is evicted, they should trash talk that house guest around other house guests and be like, you know what? I don't care if they watch the feeds. I don't care if they watch back the episodes. I just hate that person, so on and so forth. And then go into a room alone and be like, hey, that is all gameplay. I'm just trying to get them to take me to the final two. You know I love you. I'm sorry that I said those things.
The only problem with that strategy is what happens if the cameras are not on you?
What happens if they Steve Moses you?
Yeah, it's like they're only on you when you're with everyone else. And then the second you get by yourself, it's like, oh, bye.
That ties into
don't piss off the producers.
Hiring a social media manager to clean up your dirty work.
Yes, definitely. Using the iPads to do jury management, like reach out to everyone and say like, look, you know, I had to get you out. You are a great competitor. All that sort of stuff. I think also what's important is leave the negativity out. I just feel like, this season was not so fun to watch. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that it was so overly negative. Whereas the first Big Brother Celebrity was so fun because I felt like everyone, you know, at the end of the day, everyone got along and could have fun together. And there wasn't this like, you know, oh, he bullied me. Oh, you know, I'm going to trash talk someone in a room as much as there was this season.
Yeah, so but that, like, that wasn't really in the show too much outside of that one conversation with Tamar and Tom Green. And I think that the season will age well based on how fun Tamar was as the winner. Yeah. And if anybody goes back and watches it, like, you know, these 12 or 13 episodes, I think that it's an easy watch. Tamar is really fun. She goes on to win. Nobody's rewatching the live feeds of it. So the most unlikable things about the season are all going to, I think, fade more and more from the memory with time. And I think the things that were fun about the season, I think, are the things that will be remembered moving forward.
It's like the thing we always ask, like, you know, are you going to have a great season with a so-so or icky winner?
Would you rather have a great season with a so-so winner?
Yeah. Or would you rather have a so-so season with a great winner? Like, I mean, like BB19, and, you know, like, I hated it, but then we got a great ambassador at the end for the show to the point where I was screaming.
The ambassador.
I was saying on the roundtable last night that I was rooting for Tamar after Candy, because I think that a Tamar win would elevate the season a lot more than anybody else winning the season. And I think it has, and I think that it will. And you know, no, this was not the most fun season to watch, you know, throughout. But I do think that this win, like I said, I think it means a lot of good things for the show moving forward. And I think it means a lot of good things to remember this season by, because Tamar is such a fun winner and a fun character on the show. So, I was very sad that Candy lost, but I was very pleased with the Tamar win.
Just to be clear, I'm not comparing this season to Big Brother 19. So people in the chat are coming for me. This was not Big Brother 19. These people were playing. They all wanted to win, most of them wanted to win. They really wanted to get to the end of the game. They were trying to position themselves well. It's just that some of the negativity got to a point where it wasn't fun to watch as a live feeder at times, and that's what we do. So it was a little rough to watch. But overall, like, I mean, given how hard everybody played and the great winner we have at the end, and I mean, to me, I think it's like a fine wine, like what Rob says. It's going to age well.
Okay, let's go talk about Marietta. How awesome is it that Tom Green, a Canadian, won America's favorite? So congratulations, Tom Green. But I think he earned it.
Yeah, Canadians are have 100% average on being America's favorite when they go on the show. From now on, you know, it's the opposite of a curse. If you're Canadian and you go on American Big Brother, you will win fan favorite. That's how the statistics play out.
Canada is like North America, Rob. So yes, it totally works as America's favorite.
Now, do we ever get clarity on the rule of if you are the winner of the season, can you also win the fan favorite? Is there any possibility that Tamar won the fan favorite? Did we ever get? I feel like last season there was Allison Grodner was trying to clear that up, but then
Grodner did say that if the winner can win America's favorite, but she did not talk about it in the past tense. I think that the rule used to be that the winner could not win. I think they have since changed the rule, and now the winner can win America's Favorite.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I think if Tom Green had gotten to the end and he would have won the show, I think he would have won America's Favorite as well.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I really, it's whatever the producers want to do.
Let's okay. Go. All right. Was there anyone Ricky could have won against? Anthony Scaramucci. Yeah. Natalie like, Eva Marie.
This is going to sound like a hot take, but based on the way she acted throughout the finale and the season, I think he has a fighting chance against Dina. Not that he would ever take her to the end, but Dina was such a, like, vacant stare of a person on the stage and didn't know what she was doing, didn't know what she was talking about.
Like her final really
gonna, are you really gonna reward her as the
but
winner?
But Ricky wasn't good though at the end. So yeah. you would have had two people sort of meandering. So it goes down to then, you know, Lolo's already pissed, you know, people yeah. that Tom and Kato.
Like, I feel like Dina does even worse with the final speeches.
If Dina wins and takes Ricky, that's what needs to happen.
I feel like the five guys are locked in on Dina. I think Tom and Kato 100% go Dina. I think Jonathan 100% goes Dina. I think Ryan so goes bad. With Jonathan. I think Joey goes with Jonathan. And Candy is 100% for Dina as well, I think. So I think that's six completely locked votes for Dina. So I think Lolo was his better shot, whether or not he would have won. We'll find out.
Okay. Megan wants to know, can we talk about Lolo's face when Tom won? I wasn't keyed in on that. Did anybody see that?
I did not either. See, again, they had a close-up of Tom's face. So
Tom didn't react. He knew it was coming.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I told him.
Pointing at him like,
still so mad that they do this. They don't give us the wide shot when they announce. Like, we need the Frankie moment. God.
You know what? I think I do remember it. This is totally off my memory. It was peripheral vision, but I think that she just was like, I think she's just like started yelling and clapping like she was happy for him. If you pay attention to her face, you might see the terror in her eyes.
Okay.
But like I said, she kind of predicted this was going to happen. She thinks it's because of, his late night antics.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Gwen wants to know, at what point did Ricky know he lost tonight?
I don't think he did.
When the votes started coming in.
Yeah.
Okay. BB says, Brent, congrats on winning the draft and the stock watch. So Brent, congratulations. You won the draft. You took Tamar in the draft. What pick did you take Tamar?
I took her with my first pick. I was, it was the fourth pick overall, but my first pick overall, I picked Tamar Braxton. At the time, there was a lot of consternation on Twitter that she might have quit the game. I was saying, I don't believe
this. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. I remember that.
I wanted to pick her, and then...
Because her video with Aika was missing. Uh-oh.
Yes,
was it Vegas? Was it Real Vegas for sure? She slammed the door.
Vegas
on...
Said that, yeah, that she had
a sequester.
A breakdown, yeah.
Yeah. And Twitter thought she quit. Anyway, I took her with my first pick, and then I also won the stock watch. Taryn once named his team. Somebody please stop me.
You are not there yet, Brent. That was after like 10 wins in a row. You're at three. Six things in a row. All right.
Big Brother last season. I had Casey.
You don't even have a streak going.
What are you talking about?
Melissa's the most recent Big Brother draft winner.
Big Brother winner.
You won. What'd you win?
I won Casey.
Oh, I won the stock
shut
watch.
Shut down left and right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes, I won. I got Paris right.
Powerful.
I remember. I got five out of six. Okay.
Let him have his moment.
Let me have my moment. Goddamn.
Okay. Did you say that you won three things though this season, Brent?
Well, no, I won the draft and the stock watch. Then I won the stock watch last season.
Okay, you saw old things. Okay.
Stock watch and Big Brother Canada.
I will say this
win
is
everything. People.
This is the happiest I've ever been to lose to Brent, which is saying a lot.
Yes. Yeah, and I would have been happy to lose if Candy had won the game. Like, I don't care. I mean, I did end up having her in my draft, but I wanted her to win, and I felt like we were close. Like last night when we were on the show, like I was buying Candy stock left and right because I thought she was going to stay.
Yeah.
Like 2 hours later, it switched.
Right after
Ricky came out of the diary room, and all of a sudden he's talking about evicting Candy, and I'm like, oh my gosh, really?
I guess it wouldn't have mattered because Ricky won the final HOH, but maybe Candy would have won it, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah. Okay. Let's see if we have anything else. Okay. All right. Here's one. In Taryn's defense, BB says, tonight kind of, sort of was a miracle, LOL. Who would have thought that Ricky would cut Lolo so coldly, have terrible speeches, and Tomato would be so forgiving? Taryn, would you say that this was ended up being a miracle tonight?
No, it wasn't a miracle. I think, and I would later come to say that I think Tamar is the favorite coming into this. I think that, I mean, yeah, a lot of things lined up, like Lolo not,
you know, momentum saying is big.
She'd have a final two, and Ricky winning, I think, helped to the way that he cut Lolo. I think that she doesn't win unanimous, or he, yeah, she doesn't win unanimously if he doesn't cut Lolo. I think he gets at least Lolo and Natalie. So there were things that lined up for sure, but I think this was the most likely outcome after the events of you know, the weekend happened.
Yeah. What would you say was the thing that was the biggest X factor that got us to this point? Was it the jury's opinion on Tamar? Was it Tamar's performance? Was it Ricky being so bad? Was it Ricky taking the Jenga board apart?
I think that if I had to point to like the two biggest things that lined up, I think that, you know, we talked about when Tamar won HOH, that was a really bad move. And I think that Tom winning the next HOH really bailed her out from that bad move and really set the game up exactly how she needed it to be. If Tom doesn't win that HOH, then the athletes retain all three of them. And then Ricky's never taking Tamar. He's going to take Natalie or whoever. And then, so that plus Lolo pulling a Christmas and not telling Ricky she wants to go to the final two with him, I think those two things are probably the biggest things that lined up for Tamar.
Okay. And I just also want to say just one more time with the, you know, in defense of, you know, the updates from the feeds, you know, I have a ton of respect for what you guys all do with covering the feeds, and especially when you're covering things on a daily basis, like what Taryn has to do, it's not an easy thing to do. And just because something is one way on a particular day doesn't mean it's necessarily going to stay that way. It's like reporting on the stock market or the weather or anything, where just because it's cold today doesn't mean it's not going to be 80 degrees tomorrow.
Yeah, and I'll also say that when we started the live feed updates, they used to be like 10 minutes long, because I would literally just like read out the events of what happened. And so now we try to have more fun with it, and we try to make bold calls so that we can, you know.
I appreciate that you were not fancy fencers in about it.
Yeah. Well, I was fancy fencers in the fact that I think that at one point I said everybody was drawing dead except for Candy or Dina. Yeah, but that's what I like. Look, you gotta have fun. You gotta have fun with it.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing to do.
Just to be clear, like, I'm having fun with it too. Like, I mean, Rob, I think you know this, but if it's
no, I want to speak to the audience okay, too. Yeah.
If it didn't play well, I'm sorry, but like, I'm literally having fun with Taryn. Like, Taryn is right, like, almost all the time. So like, the one or few times that he's not right, I try to like pull those so that I mean, like, you have to give me something. Otherwise, why am I here?
You're right. Here so that when you try to pull it, I pull up the tweet where you say, well, exactly. Taryn, I'm inclined to agree.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Why don't we end on this question? Felipe says, is this one of the most satisfying endings in recent Big Brother? As much as we rooted for Tom and for Candy, and let's be careful with we, because some people rooted for Tom and Candy, some people rooted for different people. You got to give it to Tamar Giesling for clearly being the star of the season. Even to that unanimous vote at the end, Nolicki's faces were priceless. And so I'm sure that there were people that are not happy with this outcome, but I feel like that based on everything that we saw, I feel like that this is the best ending of the possible endings that we had. I don't know how many people were rooting for a Ricky victory at the end. Tamar, love her or hate her, she entertained us and was a fun winner to have at the end of this season. And so I think this was the best case scenario.
I think it was great, Taryn. I'm thrilled. To me, it was overly satisfying. A Candy ending would have been wonderful, but like, to me, like, this, be like, let's be real. Like, Candy didn't do much for like the
first. Can I be honest that I'm not as high. I'll take the Tamar win over the Candy win. I mean, Candy, look, she seemed like the nicest, most respectable, sane person that was there. But if we were like, if Candy won tonight, I think I would not be as excited as I am with the Tamar win.
Rob, I agree.
In this game, you're dead to me.
Melissa, like 2 weeks ago on the live stream, on the round table, we were giving Candy like twos and threes because we were like, is she even playing the game? Like, we didn't even know what she was doing in the house.
And she came alive.
Playing smart by laying low, not causing drama and not getting involved, even though people were desperately trying to drag her into the drama.
She ended up being sort of like the tallest blade of grass of the bunch. But
I think if she had won, I think we'd be all saying, wow, Candy, that strategy was amazing. She laid low, just like we always say to do, and then she pulled it out.
It was fine. It would have been like a nice story, but at least that, you know, Tamar, good and bad, it was a much more fun ride with Tamar.
Well, what I was going to say is I'm actually kind of conflicted. I would have loved the Candy win. However, the way that this played out where Candy was evicted, it broke my heart to watch it. It was hard. It was emotional. But then Tamar winning was like this big excitement thing. And I went on a roller coaster and I kind of love when that happens. As much as I hate the feeling of the losing of the Candy, the fact that it evoked so much emotion in me and brought me on that roller coaster, I do think made for a better final episode than if it had been just kind of like just the pure joy of Candy winning. You have to get taken down before you can get brought back up.
Okay.
So this might have actually been the best outcome.
Okay. Give me your amazing race team from Celebrity Big Brother. Who are you putting on the amazing race?
Candy and Tamar.
Candy and Tamar. No tomato.
You've got the drama, you've got the friendship, you've got the storyline of two people who were enemies coming back.
They would fight with each other so much.
No, yeah. Natalie, Eva Marie, and Lolo.
It's such a great combination because there's so many elements of like it's like a Odd Couple where Candy is the straight man to Tamar's hot mess.
Tamar's wildness.
Right. And any great like reality TV couple or pairing, they have to also fight with each other. That's key. Yeah. If they get along with each other and are always best friends, that's not that fun to watch. You need the internal conflict also. Okay.
I will say I did enjoy Cody and Jessica on The Amazing Race because they were so nice to each other, because I do like people being nice to each other. But if it's an Amazing Race pairing and it's just like two friends, I don't want to see two friends being nice to each other. I want to see them fight.
Two friends, you want to have like a little bit of tension, but also the friendship and the fun.
I think it's the couples that fight that I don't like as much.
Rob, I have to say Lone Ranger in the chat has it right. I think it would probably have to be my second choice is Ross and Meta.
The cousins.
They're cousins.
Cousins, Rob. I'm here for it. Okay. That was fun.
All right. What a life we lead on the Big Brother podcasts here. So much fun. Let's quickly talk about what's coming up before we wrap this all up tonight. Bachelor Colton is that he's getting closer to finding love than Lolo is so far. Look at him. He's getting closer and closer. Get the wrap up from Amy and Haley on our wrap-ups feeds. And then, look at this. David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis are back for a Why Blank Lost season preview. So to hear Jessica Lewis talk about her old buddy David Wright coming back for Survivor 38. Of course, the Love Know-It-Alls are back by popular demand. Not really. But Gabby said, hey, will the Love Know-It-Alls come back? And we said, Gabby, well, you can make your Valentine's wish come true. So listen to Gabby Piscuzzi with Stephen Fishbeck and myself on the Love Know-It-Alls. How about that? Very exciting. And then Nicole Cesternino and I talked about all of the 18 new players. Got a lot of Survivor content coming your way right now, because people on Reddit said, hey, where's all the, there's not enough RHAP preseason content. So we're dropping shock and awe on you right now. 2.5 hours with me and Nicole going through the cast of Survivor 38. And be on the lookout for more Survivor podcasts coming from me sometime tomorrow. So be on the lookout for that one. Of course, all of this podcasting, everything Big Brother that you hear, everything Survivor, is made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. We greatly appreciate your support. 5 years going strong. RobHasAWebsite.com/patron for more information of how to be a part of our Rob Has a Podcast patron community. RobHasAWebsite.com/patron. Okay. What a great job you guys did once again in this sprint, not the marathon, but the sprint of Celebrity Big Brother 2019. How do you feel at the end of the season?
Feels weird. Feels like it shouldn't be over. Feels like I'm doing an update tomorrow morning.
Yeah, it kind of does feel like that. Of course, we have Big Brother Canada 7 coming in the first week in March, so we don't get a lot of time off, and I'm excited for that, and should be a blast, so I can't wait.
Yeah,
I hope they do another Celebrity Big Brother next year.
Me too. And I think they will, given that look at the ratings. Everything is pretty solid. So I feel moderately confident about it. Although I thought the numbers were good for BBOTT, and that went the way of the dinosaurs.
Yeah. No. So. You know, I would also say that they could do an all-star season with the same format.
Yes. Well, that would be ideal, I think, for
take so much time off.
If they wanted to do a Big Brother U.S. all-stars in this format of like a 3-week all-stars where I don't know if the great of the greats would come back for 99 days in a given summer, but
won't.
Could you get the cream of the crop for 3 weeks? I think you could.
Think you could.
If you can get these people, you can get Will and Dan Giesling. Come
they
on.
Should. Oh God, that would be so amazing. I'm sorry, I'm like getting excited about it.
Yeah, I think that they would come back for a 3 week.
Melissa, is that something you want? Well, you're never gonna get it.
Yeah, they've all said if they get paid enough, they'd do a regular season. I see they're just not interested in paying them what they want, and I don't think they're gonna give us what we want.
Okay, and then. Did Julie say tonight that we'll be back in the summer for a regular Big Brother, right? She did say that. So
did
the show ever get picked up though? Did we ever see that officially? Like that there was a pickup for Big Brother 21?
There is now. Julie
I feel like it did.
I just remember seeing the casting call notices and stuff.
Yeah,
but I didn't see an actual. I don't remember seeing an actual thing that was like, "Hey, we got picked up! Hooray!"
Okay, all right. So be on the lookout for that. Big Brother Canada casting, or the cast probably look for that around the 1st of March or so, with the show premiering on March 7th. I am excited to say that Arissa Cox will join me to talk about the first episode of Survivor on our first feedback show during the Survivor season.
Yay!
So be on the lookout. Out for that. She was on location in Fiji talking to the Survivor 38 players. If you haven't watched her interviews with everybody, of course, also check out First One Out as well.
Canada knows what to do. Like, we want more Arissa Cox, and they give us more.
They give it
Arissa
to us.
Cox.
Okay. Yes.
Well, they don't stop the twists. And they don't edit the episodes, right?
You get everything, Karen.
But no, I'm excited for Big Brother Canada. And something else that people should check out between now and the start of Big Brother Canada, you get a nice big, nice few weeks of break. Check out the blockumentary that we mentioned.
Yes,
it's a lot of fun.
Yes. Like Tom Green drinking coffee. Go to robinswebsite.com/BB3 for the Big Brother 3 blockumentary. Taryn and I over 20, is it 23 hours? Hours, Taryn?
Something like that.
Something like that. 23 hours going through everything from Big Brother 3, an iconic season, very important in Big Brother history. They also have a laser competition.
Yeah, it ties in very well because this is kind of Big Brother 3 is where it all starts. And, Big Brother Celebrity 2 is where it finally comes together, if you know what I'm talking about.
So Rob's website
jury votes is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Rob's website.com slash BB3 to check that out in our audiobook store. All right. Where can everybody find find correspondence between now and the start of the next season? Brent.
You can find me recapping RuPaul's Drag Race. We have the finale this coming Friday. I'm excited to be doing a podcast with Mike Bloom and Liana Boris about that. You can find me on Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, basically anywhere at One Lucky Gay, one spelled out O-N-E. And Taryn, what about you?
You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, Twitter at Armstrong Taryn, and Instagram at Taryn_Armstrong.
And what about Melissa?
You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at It's Melissa with three A's.
With three A's. Okay.
I've never had to say that before.
Isn't it fun?
It is a little fun. It's pretty cool.
what, you're new on Instagram?
No, I'm old on Instagram. I just have never said it before.
Okay. There you go.
The Dorian Gray of Instagram.
Thank you guys so much for keeping up with everything from this season, all of the shows. Of course, thanks Eric Stein for keeping up with everything with the Winter of Stein. All of the people that are on with Taryn in the morning. It's really a cast of thousands that we have covering the show at this point. And so thank you to everybody who's with us day in and day out, watching and chatting with us on social media. And it is, every Big Brother season ends up being a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to get to talk about all of this with you. And Taryn, again, incredible work on the daily updates. It is no small task. Criticism abound. Thank you for being there day in and day out.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure to do it. I love doing it, and I love the people that join me every morning. They're the best, and I love that that this is what I do. And it's just the best.
Okay,
and that's me being Tom. I don't know.
Also, a shout out to Scott St. Pierre, who's behind the scenes all these episodes. Gets all the podcasts edited, both the shows that we do live, and then also all of the Taryn updates. Gets those up for everybody every single day. So thank you to Scott. Thanks everybody for watching, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Special thanks to our friends over at True Car for sponsoring this episode of Rob's Podcast. Every car comes with its share of stories, that ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, that luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer long. And while you can't put a price tag on your stories now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in. Just go to True Car and simply enter your license plate number and watch how the car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof. Watch as they bump up your car's value. High mileage. You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you know how much it's going to ding your wallet, so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a True Cash offer sent in minutes, which you can send to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True Cash offer not available in all states.